Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. Questions as of November 7th. I'm recording on Thursday, November 10th in the morning in Europe. And again, thank you for your questions. I always learn some amazing things. Hello, Catherine. Firstly, thank you for setting up this site and all the valuable insights you provide. Recently, we purchased silver, but we are now looking into purchasing some gold. My question is, do you have any insights into when to do this? This is obviously a complicated question, but do you have any sense of the prices coming down? I hear there might be some gold reserves opening up, which could bring the price down. Also wanted to know if you have any sense of vulnerability to assets being confiscated by government, as has been done in the past. If we buy any more than 10,000, it's really 9,999. In Australia, the purchase is recorded. So if we bought a larger sum, then there would be a record, possibly putting us in a vulnerable position in the future. A couple things. Critical issue is where you hold the precious metals. If you're holding it at home, then it makes sense to try and buy below the 9,999 limit, because then you can keep it reduced to the radar. I will tell you, given modern technology, I think they can find just about anything. You can go to extraordinary lengths to hide it from the technology, but it's going to be tough. But there's no doubt I like doing everything I can to stay out of databases. So if you're going to hold it at home, then buying, sort of steadily below the $9,999 limit makes sense. The only thing is, as you make bigger purchases, you may get more aggressive pricing and lower premiums. So there's something to be said for buying in larger amounts. When you have somebody else's custodian, then there's always going to be a record of it. So if you're using a custodian, then buying in the smaller amounts doesn't make any sense because you're going to be in the system. I would take a look at the presentation we did called What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals? If you don't have your core position, it sounds like you don't. I would be relatively price insensitive. I do think that there's a good chance we have very strong deflationary trends starting in January, and that would argue for lower precious metals prices next year. But I never like to wait to get my core position. I like to just get it within a reasonable period of time. The other problem, and John and I discussed this on Money and Markets this week, if we do go into a powerful deflation, and I think there's many arguments that that's being engineered, the Fed could pivot, at which point, prices push the other way. So I wouldn't be eager to buy an investment position now, but I would be eager to buy a core position now. But you need to make sure that you, whatever you buy now, you're not going to be encouraged to sell it if the market goes down a lot. So you need to be prepared for tremendous volatility in prices and not let that volatility shake you out of your core position. Anyway, I hope that helps, and check out what percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals. Okay, geopolitics and financial markets. Couple questions from Brazil. The first one, what happened in the election and how successful will people be in altering a rigged election? So there's a lot of pushback in Brazil over what appears to be a rigged election, and there's going to be, I don't know how visible the pushback is going to be, but there's going to be a lot of pushback quietly because of the rigged elections in the U.S. This is my concern, too. Will there be a point where something breaks through? You have to shift time, attention, consumer purchases, investment, financing. You have to shift in a marketplace. I've said this for 30 years. I'm going to keep banging the drum. You have to shift how the money works. You have to shift your time and attention. This is, you vote every second and every hour and every day in the marketplace. I can't tell you the number of subscribers who are still using Gmail and still banking at Citibank and JPMorgan Chase and think it's just fine. I don't even want to mention the close people close to me who literally did not vote in the election, has no clue who their sheriff is, and are completely apathetic. So, get the joke. Get the joke. We don't vote every 2 years. We vote every second with every aspect of our life. Start exercising your real vote, and there's plenty we could do. We would have a revolution, but I'm just spitting mad at the last round of people who I know are still acting like what they do with their time, their attention, their purchases, and their investments don't count. Get going. And use cash. Cash is a revolution and it's happening right now. Somebody from Brazil, so we go into equity overview, somebody in Brazil is thinking of opening a bank account in the USA. I think having options in multiple jurisdictions always makes sense if you can do it and afford it. If you're in Brazil, I would open it in the state that does the most trade with Brazil. And then, because they're going to be comfortable with Brazil, but then you might want to, once you get a U.S. bank account in a state that's comfortable with Brazil, they're going to be subject to pressure from Brazil. So that you want to move outward. You're always best to go where you have family, friends, introductions. Introductions always help. So I would stick with where you have family and friends. And if you were going to visit or stay in the United States, where you would go because of those family and friends. I would choose with the most trade with Brazil, and I think it's likely Texas. I went to the Department of Commerce website to try and figure out which it was. But Texas has a lot of trade with Brazil. There's a lot of sort of personal ties back and forth. And I think Texas is one of the least paranoid states in terms of day-to-day culture and application of regulation. So I would try Texas, subject to if you have a place where you have a cluster of family, friends, and can get introductions to their bank, that's where I'd go. When I say their bank, I mean community bank or local bank. I was excited to hear you explain in the latest Money and Markets that there is a state-owned, state-run Bank of North Dakota that is not connected to central banks. Should we start movements within our respective states to create similar state-owned banks? The answer is yes. Every state needs a sovereign bank that can hold the bank's receipts and expenses so that they don't have to put it in a New York Fed-controlled bank. It was great to meet and talk with you in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Slurry meeting on Thursday. When I returned home, I learned two friends of mine had started their paperwork on becoming American state nationals. After listening to the many talks that David Lester Strait has given, which can be found on Rumble, I too will be submitting my paperwork to take back my birthright of being sovereign. Okay, so generally, I ignore these systems because, from my experience, Mr. Global doesn't respect any law. So, I don't think you're going to find a way of approaching the legal system which is going to protect you. So I tend not to get all involved in these sort of complex legal systems. And I've never seen them ultimately deliver really practical benefits. But I think state nationals could catch on, and I think they could catch on because that's exactly where Mr. Global wants to go. He'd like to pull apart the federal government, and if that happens, then the jurisdiction falls to the states because the states created the federal government. So if the federal government goes away, we go back to being basically citizens of states, and that's a great way to break up the country without having complete chaos. So the question for most people is if you either opt out individually or collectively, that means all the federal benefits, Social Security, Medicare, Treasury Security and Investments, Treasury Direct, military pensions, disability, food stamps, appropriation to the states go away. As far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing, but it's a gut-wrenching adjustment. But it's a great way for Mr. Global to get out of the federal liabilities, which are manifold. And I think it's a political matter. If you're trying to opt out of them, particularly out of federal taxes, be prepared to end up in court and spend a goodly amount of time in jail, unless the federal government does come down and come apart. I think the big issue here is what are your obligations to both pay taxes and what are the benefits you expect to receive or the people around you expect to receive? Because if you're pulling the rug out of their benefit receipts, they're going to have feelings about that. And that's one of the reasons I've never tried to pull out of the tax system or anything else. I want to be in the same basket as everybody else, because the only way we change this is all of us together. So I'm happy to be in the pot with everybody else. Hello, on your November 3rd Money and Markets at 1 hour, 13 minutes, and 40 seconds, there is a video, I believe, from Australia on the removal of a clot from a person's heart. You know the origin? Yeah, so I put a link in the show notes, but that link is always, all the links for sources for money and markets are in the file that is in the money and markets commentary every week. So if you ever want the original reference or URL, just look in the file and you'll find it. It's there. That's where I got it. Several people sent in links on good sources of information on China, and I sincerely am very, very grateful. So they're both from knowledgeable China hands with a lot of one with experience living in Hong Kong and another in the mainland. So very, very valuable. And those are in the show notes. Hi, Catherine. I submitted a question. The response was on the list and just wanted to check and see if this means that is an area that the Solaria team is looking into, but does not have any suggestion at this time. I appreciate clarification. So as long as we get the question, it goes in the show notes. So if you go to Money and Markets and you go down to Ask Catherine, we put the script in there. All the questions we received are in the script. So if your question isn't in the script, we didn't get it. And you need to send it again and tell us how you sent it. Hi, Catherine. Can you write an article when JK Jr. writes back to you on strategy to preserve family wealth? Who is JK Jr.? I didn't understand. Okay, so I don't understand what this is. What I'm doing is I'm writing something on building wealth that we'll publish for the third quarter wrap-up. I'll probably publish in December. So that's the next thing I'm going to write on that. So take a look at that when it comes out. And if you want a precursor of that, look at the second quarter equity overview, which was sort of me going through all the first draft of the links on building wealth. It's expanding. Then a question about dumb phone and smartphone recommendations. With some good tips, which I appreciate. Send that question to Bill Binney. Question for Bill Binney about the electronic devices for GPS or internet connectivity. And then a suggestion to tint windows for facial recognition. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. And the advantages of doing that if you don't have a registered phone with you. Question, just a comment. A lifelong Manhattan woman that I met at a Polyface event who commented that the reinstatement of workers with back pay would just hurt small businesses who could not afford to pay back wages and rehire. I thought it was an interesting comment in light of opportunity zones. That is a very interesting comment. That is a very interesting comment, particularly because in New York, they'll let all the big corporations ignore the reinstatement. They won't enforce it. And so the big guys can get away with doing nothing, and the small guys can get killed on it. That's a very... I'd be interested in knowing from New York what other people are seeing in terms of how it's being applied. Hi, Catherine. Thought you might find this anecdote of interest. So this is a local credit union. You started to open an account and they insisted on checking your credit. Your credit was frozen and so you ended up not sort of leaving. And it sounds exactly what happened to me with Avis. I was trying to pay for a rental car with a debit card and they wouldn't approve it without running a credit check. I was on the phone with my bank and my bank had cleared the full amount. It's just a matter of processing it. But first they insisted on checking my credit and my credit's frozen because that's the smart thing to do in a world of identity theft if you do what I do. And I wasn't about to unfreeze it. I just had to go back to the ranch and get a credit card and come back. I think the reason that the person at the credit union was asking to check your credit and needed to check your credit is that is on their official due diligence checklist. And they probably don't understand why. But the reason is that if you're a small credit union, getting someone who's very irresponsible about paying their bills, paying their credit card, other things can be a real expense for you. And so there's a legitimate reason to run a credit report. I think you're somebody who has very good credit. You'd be shocked at how many people have histories that clearly indicate they will be very unpleasant and expensive for a credit union to deal with. And so it makes sense for them to check. But I can absolutely understand why you wouldn't want to unfreeze your credit just to open an account. And I'm wondering, as I talk to bankers, I'm going to check to see how many people now require checking your credit because but then I haven't opened an account at a new bank in the United States since 2006. So clearly out of date. Dear Catherine, could you upload those referred to Psalms from that shiny new Bible Joseph gave you? was a Book of Common Prayer, and it's in the mail on the way to me here. When you travel for 6 weeks and lots of people give you hard copy books, you can't possibly carry them back in your suitcase. So, you just can't imagine. I would say that I was gifted maybe 200 pounds of stuff, and that's tough when you're traveling and you have to fly back. Question: I feel that in Western society, spiritual shift took place caused primarily due to great loss of practice knowledge over many decades and worship, whatever your faith. I agree with that. Besides prayer, I think repentance could be a great ally. Granted, my family had hardly any religious background, but asking people with religious background doesn't seem to know much more about repentance than I do. In today's society, it's hard to wake up, but when people do face aspects of reality, it's more than not accompanied with feelings of guilt. I pray and sure I fess up root direct when I think I need to, but honestly, I think there's much more to repentance than that, and I really would like to know more about doing it properly. So here's the thing. I agree it's very important to, when you face reality, to then deal with your feelings of guilt or shame or blame or whatever. For some reason, I have a hard time relating to the word repentance because of the way it was used. I grew up a Quaker, and it was used in very harsh ways. So when I think of this kind of process, I don't think of repentance. It's not a word that I use, but I do think you have to basically turn over an enormous weight, and the way I think of it is basically turning it over to Jesus or coming clean. So if you look at our Coming Clean article, I'm very focused on coming clean, and what I think you're referring to with repentance is all part of coming clean. And so my practice is coming clean, and part of that is just taking it out, making it very explicit, and looking at it, at your own culpability and involvement. It really is kind of a detox process, if you will, emotional detox. Question: over many years cleansing myself physically and spiritually from many a poison, I lately had a serious uptick in synchronicities. However, I feel synchronicities can be triggered by multiple sources, not from a good, safe source. That necessarily doesn't have to be a bad thing, but not if you are starting out and have little to no experience with the phenomena. I'm guessing you're familiar with the phenomena and deal with it in way longer than I have. So here's my thinking. I think you can have synchronicities because of divine connection, but also there can be synchronicities involving demonic connection. Discernment, part of discernment is being able to tell the difference between the two. And it gets tricky because there's so much technology now, entrainment, subliminal programming, all of this kind of stuff that really facilitates and helps the demonic. But I think the demonic can work totally on an energetic basis, not just with the technology. So what has really helped me is learning about the technology and having lots of situations where I've had to deal with it or watch other people have to deal with it. But also where I've watched demonic, what would you call it, interdimensional intelligence operate and divine operate as well. And the more you just experience it, and I try to understand it by reading about it and studying spiritual practice. What helped me the most was, in fact, studying spiritual warfare at Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church Bible Institute. And if you can find a really good Bible Institute with great spiritual warfare training, it's hard to find and it's getting harder to find, but it's there. I would certainly learn about the technology, but I would also study spiritual warfare. Hi, Catherine. I hope this is the correct place to share a link to a 3-day geoengineering event held in Boulder, Colorado, organized and funded by a coalition of university government entities, it appears. And it's on climate change intervention. So the link's here. She has listened to much of it and says there is fighting among the scientists as they discuss social engineering, depopulation, and injections of ? I haven't watched it, but she has and gave me this report. I still feel it is important to have someone more current than Clifford Carnicom to discuss what's happening with this issue currently, to clear up the muddy waters re our environment and human souls on nature. So I don't feel it's important to have someone more current than Clifford. I think it would be wonderful to have people more current than Clifford, but I think what I've found is if you find somebody of enormous integrity who can underscore and organize well the most important points on something, you know, the gist of the thing, the proper framework, that's what you need. And you can waste a huge amount of time diving into all sorts of twigs and complexities. But until a sufficient number of people get the basic framework, you're basically going in circles. If I knew, you know, what I'd really love is I'd really love Clifford, you know, being 30 years younger and kept on going. That's what I'd really love. But I'm open to other suggestions of, but I have yet to see the basic framework understood by most people, even people who accept the fact that this stuff exists. You'll see a similar situation with the COVID-19 injections. If you look at what Sucharit Bhakti has said and done and explained on the basics, you know, there's millions of hours of listening on speculation on more complicated stuff. But, you know, what we all need to do is understand the real basics of what Sucharit is saying. He's nailed it, the most important pieces, and that's what we need for our framework. I like excellence in the simple, basic framework, and I don't like getting buried in the twigs, even though I realize there's plenty of people who've done plenty more research and work on these since. Thanks again for the weekly therapy I receive by listening to you from a sacred state of communing where two or more are gathered. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I've been puzzling why the approach to population reduction is kill, slow death shots for the most loyal to the narrative. Why would you want to leave all the independent rebels? There would be far too many and left with full commitment capability to repopulate if the powers that be want total control on loyal subjects, which seem like a no-brainer, then they would want. On the other hand, if the countries were given massive population reduction targets and the powers that rule do not have some national loyalty, perhaps it makes sense to leave the people who are the smartest and most resourceful to rebuild after the carnage. I'm assuming that what has been handed to every sovereign government is a quota of how many, you know, a quota of population reduction. And so they don't want, they only want a certain percentage in each county, you know, or country or state to be reduced. We're just going to have to watch all-cause mortality and see what the problems are. Here's the other thing. The question is, if they reach a certain percentage vaccinated, will the shedding do the rest? And so there's very little good science on the shedding phenomena, but we know from practitioners and just anecdotal, you know, sort of information, shedding is really, you know, it's a real phenomenon. It's happening. Okay, somebody said they sent something a few weeks back and we've checked the email and we don't have it. So if you, just FYI, if you're the person who sent this, just know whatever it was, it never came through. Now we're seeing that more and more with certain email companies. They're less reliable or, you know, or they censor. So if you're in a big corporate email, don't be surprised if certain kinds of emails are not getting through to you and your emails are not getting through to others. And you might want to think about changing your email. Catherine, good morning. I tried to send something a few weeks back and assumed you were busy, missed it, or were censored in the middle. My health has been poor, so sending intelligence has been tough. With your recent money in markets, it sounds like you're interested in digging into this space more. This is on semiconductors. I have not reread, but what I sent about a year ago could help you with key pieces on the chessboard. It was excellent and very, very helpful, and appreciate everything you sent. The key take home from that, if you put all the pieces on the board, is that Taiwan has the bakery. They have limited capacity to supply the flour, the chocolate, the sugar, the eggs, blender bowls to make the cake, but they have the recipe and the assembly. That's very interesting. China's been working catch up, but the advanced tech is not housed there, and there have been official limits on what can be shared with them for years. That is good to know. Okay, so their clear effort to keep real control in the United States. For brevity, I'll stop myself. Let me know if I can help and how. May the Lord continue to shine his face upon the Solari family as he guides us through the valley to clean waters. Do me a favor, if you have the wherewithal to do it, send me a direct email to my email address. I really, really appreciate this intelligence. It's very helpful. U.S. is also passing restrictions on technology going to China. Isn't just TSMC's stock price that is down? Recommend checking Intel as well. A lot of smiling faces. This is very interesting. Okay, thank you very much. I continue to try and understand what's happening in the semiconductor industry, and I still feel like I don't have it, but I keep trying. And I find with something like this, it's just a matter of turtling. So I'm going to continue turtling, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help. Health and food. Love your work, and please keep it going. So this is somebody who wrote in who's working with the healthshare companies from American Frontlines Doctor. And I think doctors coming together and providing alternative care is really, really important. I asked you, and I didn't have the link, but now I do, and I put it in the notes. I'm still looking for intel on what is happening with the lawsuit by one member of the American Frontline Doctor legal team against Simone Gold, accusing her of embezzlement. So, and given that the German Corona Investigation Committee has blown up over similar charges of embezzlement, I'd love to know more about it if anybody has anything. I put the link to the filing in the show notes, but needless to say, that one came as a surprise. Okay, local gatherings, no links. A whole pile of recommended links, some of which I've sent into News Trends and Stories. One was the fully vaccinated and boosted food writer Julie Powell, author of Julie and Julia, is dead from cardiac arrest at 49. So, I have to tell you, Julie was not killed by the vaccination, in my opinion. The poisoning from the injection was secondary. Her death resulted from mind control. Most of the death from the injections is the result, it's death by mind control. The death by the poisoning from the injections is simply a symptom of death by mind control. As far as I'm concerned, it's the number one killer in the US so far because what it does is it keeps you from assessing or avoiding risk. And to me, all the poisoning of the great poisoning, whether it's injections or food or drugs or sugar or GMO food, pretending the spraying is not happening, all these things are symptoms of people being killed by mind control. Mind control is the number one killer, and we have to look at that and deal with that if we're going to make sure it doesn't kill us and our families. More links. Someone sent in the link to Corey Lynn's great article, The Control Framework, Part One. So that's up at Soleri. Mercola's republished it. It's a great piece. We can't wait for Part Two. It's on all the organizations that have sovereign immunity. Sovereign immunity is a huge problem. It's the basis of a financial breakaway civilization, and it's got to be dealt with. See, more, many, many more great links. So we've sent a lot of them into the. There's one, I didn't realize that Corbett had made a video on Elon Musk. I try and ignore Elon Musk. I just figure his job is to build the control grid and help make it fashionable. But if James is going to unpack Musk, we'll definitely post that. We did. As well as China's developments on their digital yuan. So they're moving ahead with CBDC. And we put that in. Okay. And then nothing under take action under other. Somebody wanted the document that we made of all the legal, regulatory, and enforcement settlement by JP Morgan Chase. It's easy to find if you just put JP Morgan Chase in the search box, but I put the link here and feel free to share that as broadly as you wish. There was a doctor who offered their services to Farrell, and I just want to make sure there's an employment or there's a new jobs bulletin board in subscriber input, and I would strongly recommend if you're a healthcare provider who works without insurance and is open to talk about reality without the rules from the CDC or insurance companies, I would encourage you to list yourself under the new news jobs bulletin board. So somebody wanted to know if CBDCs could be forced on us using legal tender as a trap. The answer is absolutely. And in fact, John Titus is working on a video now about legal tender issues. So I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, as always, we have an appendix with important links that often come up during the these discussions. And that's it for Ask Catherine questions as of November 7th. If your question came in later after the cutoff date, you'll hear it next week in Ask Catherine for questions as of November 14th. So, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you next week.